Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. It's been a while since I've asked you to do something of this sort. I would like you to pray before I pray. And would you pray that God would touch your heart, open your mind to the Word of God? God brought you to His house for a reason, and it wasn't to fill a seat. He brought you to hear something that was for you. And it's amazing how the same message has something for all couple hundred of us differently. And God wants it to fit your heart. The biggest part of that fitting is you being willing to receive it. I look across the room sometimes, and I see somebody that when we're focused on this, they're already going like this before we start to preach. Or I see somebody, listen to Miss Z, beautiful voice, and they're going. They're not focused. Lord, focus my heart that I can get all that I can out of what God has given Pastor today. I'm not a magic person. I'm just a vessel of God. And just ask God to let you fully receive what He has. But ask Him. So we're going to bow our heads. You talk to Him quietly. Then I'm going to start my prayer. Heavenly Father, we are needy people. We recognize it over and over again. And Father, we don't want to be like the church in Laodicea that you had to knock on the door because you were outside when they were having church. Father, we want you in the center of everything, the preaching, the singing, the Sunday school classes, our junior beginner church, every part today. Be with the translation into Spanish. Lord, that everything, you would be there, your Holy Spirit would empower it today. Father, help us to hear what you have. Help me to speak with authority. Lord, help me to speak with clarity. And Father, may it hit our hearts and land where you want it to do so that we can be more like you. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Very good. Acts chapter 13, we have Paul and Barnabas. And they were on their first missionary journey. What a great thing. They'd just been on this isle, and they had a contest with a sort of a witch doctor type guy. And boy, it was a big deal. And now they're going into Asia Minor. And as they depart to go, we find an interesting verse in Acts 13, verse 13. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, who is this John? It's not the John that we look at writing the book of John. It is actually the one that wrote John Mark. This is John Mark. Okay. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. What's going on here? This had been a young man that went out on this missionary journey, and he was excited. He liked Paul. He liked Barnabas. He liked what was going on. He hooked up on this evangelistic effort, and they got to this first island where all these things were going on, and somehow he just quit. I mean, I really can't say much against him in the first part. At least he was out there on the team. He was excited. He was a saved young man. He wanted to dedicate his life for the Lord. But John departed, and he quit. If we were to go on, we would find on the second missionary journey, it came time that many people believe it was his uncle, Barnabas, said, John Mark, I want you to go with us. And Paul said, I'm not going to have a quitter on my team. And it was such a controversy between Paul and Barnabas that they split. And Barnabas went ahead and took John Mark and went on his way. And Paul took another companion. And that is the official second missionary journey that we follow in the scriptures. But then we don't hear much about John Mark. But then he starts showing up in different places in the scripture. And at the very end, Paul says this about John. He says, bring him to me, for now he is profitable. I think there's a lot to learn about this young man. One is enthusiasm is not enough. Zeal won't carry the day. I mean, we all get excited. Maybe we go to revival meetings. We surrender to serve Jesus. Maybe we volunteer. Pastor needs some help. Pastor Stephen needs some help. Brother Austin says we need help over in the Christian school ministry. We get zealous. But it's the long-term commitment. It's the day in, day out. It's the hard times that you hit and you don't turn around. It's the finishing the job and not quitting that really gets the job done. And I think most Christians, as you and I would sit here this morning, we would not say, I want to be a quitter. I want to be a finisher. That's our goal in our heart. And I think we honestly, many times, get off the path somewhere. So we want to talk today about some things that I believe will help a Christian stay on the path for the Lord Jesus Christ and to make their life profitable so that when we get to the end of our life, like it says in Hebrews chapter 11, that we stand before Christ and we've obtained a good report. In other words, I stand before the Lord Jesus and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear, amen? I mean, that's more than the crowns. That's more than anything else. It's the look of my Savior that gave everything to save my soul. And he says, basically, I'm proud of that life that you lived. You've been faithful. Well done. Boy, that's worth going after. I can't do it by myself. Philippians 4:13, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We're going to have to learn how to do that. Years and years ago, when I was in neighborhood Bible time as an evangelist, I was in Denver, Colorado, riding in the van with 40 other young men. And as we're going down in the bus, the bus driver was our leader, Brother Holmsher. And we drove past this one street, and he slowed down. He said, boys, turn your eyes to the right. We all looked over. He said, do you see that? And down the road, there was this house that had three cars, and I grew up in a farm, so I'd never seen this before. Three cars all parked, two in the driveway and one out in the front road, and they had those car covers over them. You know, like there must be some sort of antique or special car, and so they're covered, like you take a baby and you put him in a bed. They cover their cars, and that's a very special. He said, do you see those cars? And he goes, yes. He said, let me tell you, I've seen those cars. And he started to explain to us, we're driving down the road. He said, that man used to be a pastor in Denver. But somewhere along the line, that pastor got off track and he had a pretty good church. But instead of finishing the job, he got off track. He no longer pastors. Matter of fact, what he did, he got a house and he started making money by renting out one house. Made enough money, he started renting out two houses. He made enough money, he started renting out. Pretty soon, he owned a whole bunch of property in Denver and he became a landlord. And then you see those cars, he's got so much money, that's his little hobby, collecting all these antique cars, and there you see his trophies in his front yard, and he said, boys, those trophies are going to rust and decay. That man has made a very foolish mistake, and he really challenged his young preacher boys, be careful that you finish the job. It was a good warning early in my life. And you know, I could do that. I could easily begin as a pastor. I have skills. I have abilities of management, and it'd be very easy for me to justify, not because I needed to make a tent, but because I just wanted to have my hand in the world, but it's seductive. It's seductive. It wants to pull you off, and I'm not saying you working in a job is wrong. Please don't get that. But when we find God's will, it's easy to somehow get out of what God's done for our life. In the direction he wants us to do. I do know this, that God wants us to be busy for him and to make our life, when it all adds up, to have been in the center of his perfect will. So today, I want to give you some points. We'll see how far we can give. How can I end up hearing a well done, thou good and faithful servant? Well, I think, first of all, it's a verse that most of us know, Romans 12:1. Would you say it with me? Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Number one way to stay in God's will is, first of all, to yield to God's will. To yield to God's will. Have you come to a point in your life where you have said to God, okay, now I know Jesus as my Savior. I followed you in those initial steps. I've been baptized. I've gone to good church. I'm starting to get in the Word of God. Have you come to that point where you've now said to the Lord, whatever you want next, I'll do. If you want me to be a Sunday school teacher, I will. If you want me to be a deacon in the church, I will. If you want me to be a bus driver on those van routes to pick up the kids, I will. If you want me to be one of the lawnmowers, I will. If you want me to clean the church, if you want me to be in the translation booth, if you want me in the sound system, you want me to teach in junior church, you want me to keep the nursery, you want me to sing in the choir. That was a free point for you, okay? I will. Can I tell you, I've been a pastor for over 40 years. There are people that'll say, I will to a point. And they draw a line and say, God, you can't have this part. Are you one of those people? John Mark gave God quite a bit. At a certain point, he said, I'm going home. And that's about as far as he got on that missionary journey. He missed out on a lot of blessings. Praise the Lord, his uncle got him squared around and he did get things right and all the rest. There came a point probably of real surrender in his life. But are you surrendered to the Lord? Notice in the verse that we quoted, I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Over the years when I preach on that word, I like to take it from the idea of a verb that you present. I like to take that word present and turn it into a noun. Lord, I make myself a present to you. Whatever you want to do, it's yours, Lord. You know, if I came to your house, it was your birthday, and I brought a package and I said, here's a present for you today. I don't expect to take it home. It's his. Can you imagine that? Everybody comes over for Christmas, grandpa and grandma, oh, don't they bring nice gifts, all big racked up and all the rest. Got ready to go, they start gathering them all up and put them back in the car. Give me that money back. It's a present. I give it to you. The first step in finding a very good report before the Lord is being willing to get in the game. Have you presented your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? So I did. Are you keeping it that way? You know, some people are very intractable with God. That's a big word. They're stubborn. Go to 1 Samuel, please, with me, if you will. Back in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Now, King Saul was the first king of Israel. A lot of good things happened in his life, but somewhere along the line, he began to get filled with he was king. He was important. He was going to do it his way. Even though God said to do it this way, Saul, King Saul, began to do things differently to a certain point where God said, I've had enough. You become stubborn and rebellious, even though I made you king. You've lost your good report, and I am firing you. Look with me, please. 1 Samuel. Chapter 15, verse 23. This is the indictment against King Saul. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. Can I just change that? I hope I'm not going to violate the scripture. You've rejected God's will, God's word. You won't hear God's word. You've rejected the word of God. He hath also rejected thee. What was the indictment? He said your rebellion, your stubbornness, and your rejection of my clear revealed will has caused you now to be fired. Can I say to us Christians, if we're going to obtain a good report from the Lord, there needs to be a continued reasonable yieldedness to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be willing to do what the Lord wants, not what the people around us want, not seeking what I want, but what Jesus wants. It's a surrendering of the will to the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you want me to do? In the book of James, it says that every day when we get up and we say, this is what I'm going to do and this is what I'm going to do, God says that is actually wickedness in a Christian's heart. We ought to get up in the morning and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then, Lord, this is what I probably think I need to do. But you follow the Lord. I always put an asterisk next to that because teenagers, I could see a teenager saying, I got up this morning, God said I should sleep. I don't think so. He said you should go to school. All right. Don't try that one on your parents, okay? But the first step then in really being able to retain a good report, finishing the job, is to get started. Have a willingness, a continuing willingness, a regular surrender, a regular of putting, a presenting the present of my will upon the Lord's heart. If I were to call on this congregation, you as an individual in that congregation, I'm not going to do this. But if I were to call and say, everybody, without even knowing what God wants you to do for sure, but you, if you could clearly know God wanted you to do such and such, and it was quite a big task, would you say yes, even not knowing? I could raise my hand and say, yes, Pastor. If God made something clear to me, it's to move to California, move to Alaska, move to India, I'd begin the process when I got home today. Whatever God wants me. That's a willingness to do what the Lord wants me to do. Turn over, please, to the book of Proverbs chapter 20. Here's the second thing. Proverbs chapter 20. Look at verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. We talked on this in prayer meeting Wednesday night. I'd encourage you to download or get on our website. By the way, you can hear any of our sermons within a week or so after I preach them. They end up on the website. You just get on there and follow all the links, and you can hear me anytime you miss a service. But in Proverbs chapter 20, it talks about, people talk about faithfulness. Oh, how faithful I am. But reality is, they're rare. Can I just imprint that on our heart? Most men would stand up and say, you can count on me. God says, bottom line, not in the end run. Few there be that find it. So what's our second point here? If I'm going to obtain a good report and stick in there, I've got to be faithful to stay in the surrender game. People start buying houses in the country. They get cottages down in the lakes and down in Galveston. They get box seats at the football games. They get all these different things. And pretty soon, that Sunday school class they said that they were going to teach takes back seat. They said they were going to be on that church board, but they don't have time to serve because they're too busy running the country, mowing the lawn, and cleaning the fish that they're catching all the time. And pretty soon they can very easily, they say, I've committed myself to a lot of other things. And who could say anything bad about all those things I listed? But many times we begin to cut off things and give them over to other areas, and our commitments go to the world and our pleasure, and we stop being faithful in what we said to God we knew he wanted us to do. Sometimes, and if you please don't misunderstand this next one, we can even start going to every family reunion and every family gathering instead of being in God's house. I look at some of the people that are here in Houston. They come from a very family-oriented background. And I tell you what, you could have a birthday party every weekend. Or a funeral. Or a wedding. Or just an excuse to get together. Every weekend. And pretty soon, the commitments that you made to God just begin to be doubled. I do, but you know, we got family. And everybody knows family is important. Do you remember what Jesus, we had it preached on here about 3 weeks ago with Brother Mossman. When we start putting our family over God's will, and we know God wants us to do this, we're going to start having trouble. God is supposed to be first place. don't misunderstand what I just said. He said, well, you don't like family. This is, you said on the front, you're a family church. I believe in family. But Christians, my commitment to Christ comes above everything else, whatever it is. Sometimes that commitment is not family. It can just be my lazy flesh. I'm just lazy as a dog. I said I was going to serve the Lord. Do you ever have a challenge with your pillow in the morning? On Sunday morning, I used to say, Señor Pillow is talking to me. And he's saying, just a little longer, take another siesta. And so you close your eyes, next thing you know, it's 12:30. Oh boy, what am I going to tell the people down the church? I can hear my pillow calling. I can hear my pillow calling. I can hear my pillow calling. Take your nap and enjoy, enjoy me. Next thing you know, we're in eternity. I was going to serve the Lord. I really was going to serve the Lord. Somehow I slept through it. And laziness. The Bible talks about the lazy man. The man's so lazy that there's a lion out in the street and he says, I'm going to go to bed. Somebody else go take care of it. Listen, laziness is something that you need to confront in the service of the Lord. There are times to say no, but not when you know God's telling you to say yes. I don't want you to misunderstand. There are times we shouldn't do everything. Will we all agree to that? But there are times we should say yes when we say no. And it gets to be a habit, and our flesh takes that way. Let me give you another thing that works on, makes us not follow our faithfulness. We stepped out, and it was harder than we thought it was going to be. I said I was going to serve the Lord, and I went over and I volunteered for junior church, and I found out, I'll never do that again. Maybe you volunteered for something like that. Maybe you said, I'm going to go, pastor said, we got to go soul winning. So I came out on Saturday, and boy, I went out and knocked on the door, and there was a Rottweiler in the yard. And I'm never going to do that again. You've had a bad experience in some way, and somehow fear has filled your heart. And, you know, fears, I've learned something about fears I don't think I understood when I was younger. Fears are irrational. You can't reason with fear. You just got to trust the Lord. And if God's called you to do something, he's going to give you the ability to do it. So we've got two things in being able to have a good report from the Lord. The first is being willing to present my life. Second is to stay faithful to the end. Don't quit along the way. Turn to 1 Peter for a third thing. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We have to be prepared to grow. Is it the Boy Scouts that has the motto? What? Always prepared. Always prepared. I've not been in the service, but I do know that they teach you to be ready for all your options. Keep your gun clean. Make sure you're ready to go. Keep alert. Keep your eyes open. That's how you get hit by a sniper. You weren't prepared. You weren't alert. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about a Christian staying prepared to serve the Lord at any moment's notice, being ready to give a witness, being ready to step out. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, I begin to be prepared to grow in the service of the Lord by, number one, really committing to regular devotions. If I were to walk around and take an honest survey, and I'm going to make it easy on you. If you read your Bible and spend a good 5, 10, 12 minutes at minimum with the Lord at least 5 out of 7 days, and I collected cards, what would you have to check mark? Once again, I'm not going to do that. I lost my Bible. I was so busy. Don't you know school started? Don't you know that this and that's happened? My kids are in college and I've got 75 bills and I'm going to have to take all the overtime I can get. You're not going to be able to serve the Lord if you're not in His Word. You need to learn to desire His Word above anything else. Listen, if I have my kids in college and if I'm back in school, I find my way to the table to eat. Somehow I manage to make it to the table every single day. Several times. Do you go more than once? That's what our problem is. We need to be prepared to grow. Are you prepared to serve? It starts with a Bible reading, a prayer life, learning to be a soul winner, committing to church attendance. Say, is that legalistic that you need? Why do you think we come to church? This is the place that God Himself ordained. Christ is the head, and He ordained a local church for us to be in. I believe that's scripture right out of Ephesians. And we need to be connected to our local church and be involved and hear what God has brought through your pastor, through that Sunday school teacher for your children. Be involved, and it's going to draw. How many times do you go home? I go home when I hear the preaching, and they've stomped all over my toes. And I said, man, now I know why it was so hard to go today. Man, I needed that. It was real tempting just to stay home this weekend. We need to be prepared to grow, memorizing scripture. We need to have a diet that works for the Lord. Every parent here could say, what are some of the things that makes for a healthy child? Diet, exercise, vitamins, discipline. These are the things that help Christians grow. Just put a spiritual spin on them. Good diet, good exercise. Take your spiritual vitamins. Have some spiritual discipline. Be prepared for success. It doesn't happen by accident. This year I'm teaching some of the math courses again, and my kids are doing generally well. I had one that didn't do as well as the others. And that student came into class two different times. I said, where's your homework? And they said, excuse. I said, why don't you just go down the office? You are not prepared. What? I said, there's no reason for you to sit. You didn't do yesterday's lesson. Just go down and sit down at the office. And I went and got him after a few minutes and brought this student back. But I wanted that child to realize if you're going to excel in the higher math, you can't just slide down the road. You just can't slide. A lot of us are used to in life, just everything comes easy. You go to the ATM, there's money. You know, my daughter, when she was younger, one day, we were going to get something, and my wife said to my daughter, she said, well, we can't do that because we don't have any money. She said, just go get it out of the machine. Honey, we don't have any money. There's lots of it in there. I saw a lady get some. That's fairy tale living. You got to mature. Am I right? Did she need to understand what money's all about? Could I say to you, if you're going to understand spiritual success, you just don't go to the spiritual ATM and say, okay, a little more success, please. It comes with commitment and growth and following through. And you've got to be prepared for this. And you've got to make the deposits before the withdrawals in your spiritual life. Turn to Proverbs chapter 28, please. Proverbs chapter 28. Look at verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but who confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. This one is a very important one. If I'm going to serve the Lord, I've got to keep my life clean. You've just got to keep your life clean. Taking care of unconfessed sin. Many, many years ago, there was a person getting ready to go to a men or ladies retreat. It doesn't matter which one. This person came to me and they said, you know, Pastor Butts, I've got to talk to you. I've got to. And they talked about a big issue in their life. I was real glad to help them. And they said, I know I'm going to go up there for 3 days, and I just don't want to go through 3 days of miserableness because I already know I got something wrong in my life, and it's going to be 3 days of unhappiness. You know what that person had in their life? Unconfessed garbage. You fill in the blank in your life. A Christian that's going to serve the Lord, God says that he uses only clean vessels. Every once in a while, I go out to eat, a cafeteria, whatever. I pick up the little tray. You know, they're all stacked up like this. The plates are all stacked up like this. And you pick it up and you go, "Ugh!" You set it off the side. There's goo all over one side. You put it down. Ooh, the other one. Dear, I think we're going to a different restaurant. You ever pick up the forks and there's no light between the tines? That's disgusting. I could appreciate somebody in our church recently. When we first came to Houston, we lived in an apartment in Spring Branch. And I got up in the middle of the night and I turned the light on in the kitchen. How many of you know the rest of it? I heard, what in the world? I'm from New York. We don't have anything like that. I didn't want to eat anything. Dear, wash all the dishes twice. And what's worse is when you pour your favorite whatever in a glass and you look down. Just think how God feels. Here's this servant that's been real, and he goes to use it like a surgeon would pick up a scalpel, and he said, I have to wash that filth. I would have to get another one. I can't use him. Christians, I got all kinds of points under this, but until you face it, and we talked about this in the men's Sunday school class today, God can forgive sin. Like King David. Who would think that King David could be used after some of the stuff he pulled? But when he went to God, God cleansed his heart. And he was still greatly used. And if you're going to serve the Lord, you've got to keep this focus in your life. You've got to have the attitude, I want to have a clean heart. And when God brings it to your heart in conviction, you hear the preaching, whatever it is, and be quick. Be quick to clean it. And God can use clean hands. As you sit here this morning, is there swirling in the back of your mind? I know I've got some, there's some stuff I've just not been addressing. I just sort of been putting it out here. I've been tucking it away. And I just haven't. You're not going to be able to do the pure will of God until you deal with it. And I challenge you, whether you come forward or however you deal with it this morning, give it to God and sense the cleanness of God, and God can move you back on the burner or on the runner or on the place of service. But let me give the last point I would choose today. 1 John chapter 5. I thought this point was rather interesting. If you were here for a Sunday school opening today, I wanted to say, you are in my sermon today. First John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I want to pick out just a word or two in that verse. These things have I written that ye may know that you're saved. You can sincerely, with all your heart, say, I want to do the will of God, but you are not sure on the most fundamental step in the will of God of all. You're here this morning, and you're not sure that you know God through Jesus Christ, his Son. And if you were to die, you know in your heart that over and over and over again, you're filled with doubt after doubt after I'm not sure. If I died, I don't. You've got to get the basic position settled that you know you're saved. We had a person stood right up here. They said, when I was younger, I made a decision. But then 5 years later or so, I finally, after my Sunday school teacher talked about it and the preacher preached about it, I went home and I said, I know this is describing me. I've had 5 years where I made this profession. And I thought it was, I was already thinking, this is really right down my last point of my message today, but I didn't want to reveal it. And just as they walked away from finishing their statement, and they said, you know what? I really got saved later, that 5 years later. I never was saved back here. They just added that in on their own today. I have different things that I think we could discuss on this. Do you have nagging doubts? They can be settled. These things are written that you may know, that you might have confidence. God has a no-so salvation. You don't have to wonder. You know, there are people that have been taught wrongly that you can have a maybe I'm going to heaven. I'd like to think I am salvation. God gave to me eternal life, and he said, when you've received that salvation, from that moment on, you can know not because you're a good man or a bad man, not because you're doing enough good works or bad works, not because you're faithful enough, but because Jesus died for you and you received by faith his finished work. You can know that you're saved. So, Pastor, I hear people talk about that, but I don't know. You can know. And this is the most important thing for you to settle in the whole world. And now you're good-heartedly thinking, I want to do the will of God. Well, the first will is to know his Son. It's not God's will that any man perish. That's God's first will for your life. Do you know when you were saved? Can you nail it down? I talk to people all the time. They say, my mama said. Or my Sunday school teacher said, let me tell you, something happens to people. Even like Pastor Butts, I came forward and I said, I want to get saved, but nobody talked to me. And I just went back to my seat. I guess I'm saved. I'm just all full of doubt. Listen, if the devil's playing you like a fiddle on that, you need to get it settled. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's everything to claim by the grace of God. And it's yours. Jesus died that you could have peace with God. He wants you to be his child. So these nagging doubts, and maybe you're depending on a profession that you have. It's that I have no change in my life. Could it possibly be the reason why you have no assurance? Listen to me. It's because you've not yet really been saved. You have a lot of knowledge, but there hasn't been a placing of your individual faith on the finished work of Christ. Why don't you settle that and get in the race for Jesus today? I put down four reasons that I tell a lot of people why they're having trouble with assurance. Number one, maybe you're not saved. Let's examine it. Listen, show me what you did. Let's go through it. Number two, people say, I sinned after I was saved. Did I lose it? The Bible says you don't get it by lack of sinning. You don't lose it by sinning. You get it by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Sin and conviction of sin is different from the idea of being saved. Number three, you've not been taught assurance of salvation. The Bible tells us that we're in the hand of Jesus. There's a lot of verses on that. Learn to be anchored in Jesus Christ. And there's one last reason I tell people quite often, that even when they've talked and they've counseled, the nagging doubts keep coming back. John chapter 20, if you want to write the reference down, verse 31. The Bible says, these things are written that ye might believe on the name of the Son of God, and that believing ye might be saved. The Bible was given to remind us of God's salvation and of his promises and of his love. So here's the fourth problem when people just get away from reading the reminder of God's love. You get out from the preaching, you get out from the reading, and Satan starts to say, maybe you never had it. You need to get back in God's word. That is a very big key. Well, we've covered about serving the Lord. Do you know you're saved? Yep, Pastor, that's the foundation, isn't it? Have you said, God, here is my will? You show it, I'll follow. Have you been faithful in keeping that presentation before God? Not like John Mark, who quit in the middle, but at some point, praise God, he went back with his presentation. Amen? Maybe you need to just get back in the game. You've been sitting on the bench too long. People tend to have bad experiences, or they move between cities and states and they sort of get sidelined from where God was aiming them. You just need to get back. Maybe you're not serving God with effectiveness because you're not putting the growth factors in. You need to get back in the Bible. You need to get in prayer. Or maybe you're just having that sin in your life that's keeping you set on the bench because you're disqualified. God says, get it settled and get back in the game. Or perhaps you need to just find the will of God to be saved today. May God help every one of us when we stand before God to obtain a good report and to finish the race with joy. Let's bow our heads, please. I wonder how many here this morning say, Pastor, your last point was knowing for sure you're saved. And Pastor, quite honestly, I have some doubts, or maybe I already know, I just don't know Jesus yet. But Pastor, I want to settle it. I want to make sure that I know Christ. I believe he's God's son. I believe that I need to receive him. And Pastor, this morning, I don't want to go any further with those nagging doubts. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up where I could see it, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Pastor, I don't want to go any further with the nagging doubts. Pray for me. I want to accept Christ today. I want to make sure, I'd like to just make sure that Christ is my Savior. Pray for me. Second of all, you say, Pastor, I've never clearly just presented my life like a present to the Lord. I've heard you talk about it. I've heard people say that I should surrender to God's will, but I have not actively pursued doing that. I just really haven't crossed that line. I said, Lord, God, you could have this much. I've kept in a little box, but I'm willing. And God's dealing with me about saying, God, I'll do whatever your will is for my life. And I need to take that step. Pray for me, Pastor. Is there somebody like that today? Just slip your hand up. I need to say to God, I'm willing to pursue your will more than anything else. Pray for me. Wonder how many here would say, Pastor Butts, I'm a little bit like that John Mark that started down the road, but circumstances and life and other stuff and laziness and bad experiences, whatever, I got distracted away from the perfect center of what I know where I'm supposed to be. No more excuses. I need to be returned to the place of the perfect surrender. Pray for me, Pastor. Is there someone like that? Amen. 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 Several hands. Pray for me too. Pastor, I know what it means to be surrendered. I just need to get back in the center. Pray for me. Amen. 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 What if there's somebody here and you say, Pastor, for me, very honestly, I just don't really take care of the basics in my life, my personal devotions, my dealing with prayer and really getting my spiritual strength. And so Satan sort of keeps me defeated. I just need to get back to the basics. I know that's my big issue in my life. Pray for me. Is there someone like that? Amen. Amen. Pastor, I need to get back in my Bible, in prayer, in God's house, back just taking care of where I can grow. Pray for me too. You're hearing you say, Pastor, my big need in my life. And sometimes this is hard to lift our hand, but Pastor, there's just garbage in my life. I know it's sin. I've allowed it to stay way longer than it should have. But today, like Nathan the prophet telling King David, you brought it to my attention, God's Spirit. I asked at the beginning of the service he would speak to me, and he did. And I need to deal with something in my life. Pray for me, Pastor. Is there somebody like that? Pastor, there's some stuff that isn't right in my life. It's parked there. It's unconfessed. It's undealt with. Pray for me too. Lord, I pray that you'd help each person here. You know exactly what their need is. Some to grow, some to be saved, some for assurance of salvation, some for sin, some to get back in the game, a couple to make the decision to just surrender all the way. Help them, Lord, today. In Jesus' name. Can we quiet?